This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of energetic, cutting-edge dance, an innovative project that merges art and immigration issues, or an exhibit of photos that delve into the science of food, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. A special event added to the New Orleans Ballet Association's season brings the return of Ailey 2 to the Crescent City. The critically acclaimed dance ensemble is the second company, the next generation of artists from Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. And this performance has a local tie as Nord Sea Noba Center for Dance alumna Courtney Ross is returning to perform in her hometown. Joining me by phone from New York is Ailey 2 Artistic Director Troy Powell. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Hi.
Are you excited to be back in New Orleans?
New Orleans is such a great, festive, fun city. I always love going back there.
Now, Ailey 2 was formed back in 1974, and you are only the second artistic director, following longtime leader Sylvia Waters, to guide this ensemble. Tell us a little about yourself and how you became artistic director.
I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Mr. Ailey at the age of 9. Mr. Ailey was all about outreach, community outreach, lecture demonstrations, master classes, and him and a couple of his company members came into my elementary school here in New York, and they did a master class. And little did we know, as kids, we were just having fun. We didn't know it was an audition. And probably about a week later, a couple of weeks later, we got an invitation in the mail offering us a scholarship to train at the Ailey School. They had a facility, they had the money, they had this program, but they didn't have students. So his thing was to reach out into the community and find kids in the inner city and bring them to Ailey, kids that weren't accessible, kids who couldn't afford thousands of dollars in enrolling into taking classes, and I was lucky enough to accept that scholarship and train at the Ailey School starting since the age of 9 till about 20 years old. And then I danced with Ailey 2 for 2.5 years, and then I danced with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. I went straight from Ailey 2 to the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, where I danced with the company for 10 years under Judith Jamison. Then I left Ailey and came back to Ailey 2 as a resident choreographer, later became assistant director to Sylvia Waters, who had been running the company for almost 38 years at the time. And then in 2012, I was named the artistic director of Ailey 2.
You have certainly come full circle.
Yes, exactly. He was always ahead of his time. Like, he always knew your story. He always knew about you before you did.
That's incredible. How are you carrying the mantle and moving the Ailey legacy forward?
By bringing in choreographers that are no longer emerging, but choreographers that are very well established, by being able to take this company all over the world, by basically having Ailey 2 gain a popularity that's really unmatched by any other second company in the world.
So tell me about the dancers. How many are in the ensemble?
Well, we have 12 dancers in the ensemble. We have 6 men and 6 women, and of course we have Courtney Ross, who's from New Orleans, coming to perform with the company as well. So that is definitely an upper for her, as well as the companies. And she started with the New Orleans Ballet Association, who's bringing us. So talk about full circle.
How did she get to Alvin Ailey?
She was here for college doing the Ailey Fordham BFA program in dance. And I think she had also come doing some of our summer intensive. You know, I had the wonderful opportunity of working with her as a junior as well as a senior, and I just saw something special in her, and I had to invite her to audition, and I had to invite her into to Ailey 2, because she just definitely adds, I don't know if it's a New Orleans thing, but she definitely adds a great crispness to her dancing. She's definitely a storytelling, a dancer that dances from the heart.
So how will you showcase this new generation of dancers in New Orleans?
Well, we have 3 new works that we're performing, and then we have Revelations, which is the masterpiece. The first work you're going to see is a new work entitled In and Out, which has choreography by Joni Meal, he's an alumnus of Ailey, and he explores this work in and out as it being an honest view of the ins and outs of contemporary life. The second work you're going to see is a piece entitled Gemio, choreography by Jamar Roberts, who is an emerging and evolving choreographer who dances with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater.
Gemio, that's Portuguese for twins?
Yes, exactly. Jamar takes this work and examines the relationship between him and his brother. Although they're not twins, they have a sibling, I guess, relationship, almost like a rivalry. He is a dancer, his brother is the athlete, so just talks about how their relationship grew. Then you're going to see a nice, young, fresh hip-hop piece choreographed by a young man named Kyle Clark. And this is the first time Ailey 2 has had a hip-hop dance piece in the rap. So this is great for us to be able to celebrate that in New Orleans. This is a piece about Kyle's life. It's about him making it in the world of hip-hop. So he formed his own company called Just Soul. And it takes you on his journey, graduating college, and really struggling to find work and struggling to make his place in the dance world. It's a great work that features Courtney as well.
And you are bringing back an Alvin Ailey classic, Revelations.
Yes.
What is it that endears people to it?
Well, I think it's the fact that Alvin Ailey created a movement for Revelations, and he wanted to really talk about and celebrate the African-American heritage and the modern dance tradition. And he wanted to talk about him growing up in Rogers, Texas, and having to face racism, face poverty. He grew up in the early 30s at the time of the Depression. So he really wanted to talk about those things, and he didn't want to hold them in. He really wanted to celebrate those things and create a movement where people can see that through dance, all of those blood memories can result in happiness, in a life celebration. So he created Revelations, and is basically based on him growing up in Rogers, Texas, and him growing up in church, and him believing in God and believing that God has given him this gift and has made him a vessel through dance and creating this work about growing up in the church.
Will this be a spiritually uplifting piece?
People stand up at the end of it. People clap and cheer and sing and scream and yell. It's a piece that touches people all over the world, no matter what your race is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your economic status is, no matter what your background is, no matter what you believe in. People can relate to Revelations one way or another. And that's the great thing about Ailey, is that we talk about real life situation.
It sounds like this is going to be an emotional evening. How should we prepare for it?
Yeah, well, you should fasten your seatbelt. Because we are definitely going to take you on a ride.
Ailey 2 Artistic Director Troy Powell, thanks.
Thank you.
The New Orleans Ballet Association presents Ailey 2, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at Tulane University's Dixon Hall. More information is online at NOBA dance.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. A radical idea from local award-winning multidisciplinary artist Jose Torres Tama is receiving national attention, garnering a 2015 MAP Award. The experimental project called Taco Truck Theater, Teatro Sin Fronteras, explores social justice issues through the arts. Joining me to talk about this mobile theater residency is artist Jose Torres Tama and Carolina Hernandez, director of Puentes Latinola. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Deeply grateful to see you again, Diane.
Jose, you debuted your Taco Truck Theater project last year in New Orleans with the idea of transforming a food vehicle into a theater on wheels. You're back now with a national award. What is that award helping you to do, and what's the status of the project?
So MAP 2015 is the award that was given to us last year, and I began the development of the project in Tulsa and Minneapolis. Here, that award allows me to develop the production process in New Orleans. MAP Fund is also a very highly competitive award, very prestigious award. The numbers are such that 800 to 1,000 artists and ensembles apply, 200 are reviewed, and 45 to 46 receive awards. We are deeply grateful. It has put the Taco Truck Theater and Teatro Sin Fronteras event on a national radar. Last year, what we did with Teatro Sin Fronteras, which translates into Theater Without Borders, was use 7 movable feasts to highlight the contributions of Latino artists, musicians, filmmakers, poets, performers, and dancers. So now we're doing the production residency.
Now, Carolina, Puentes Latinola is one of the hosts. What is Puentes?
Puentes actually translates to bridge. And Puentes Latinola is the first Latino-focused community-based nonprofit in the state of Louisiana. And we're also the first and only affiliate of the National Council of La Raza, which is the largest civil rights organization for Hispanics in the United States. We've been around since 2007, and our programs focus on serving Latinos and developing businesses, individuals, and families.
What is your role in hosting the event?
More than anything, it's to support Jose's efforts in creating dialogue between immigrant communities and the community at wide.
Jose, what can we look forward to?
We have a great event at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center on Saturday. We will be holding a major community gathering called Immigration, Activism, and the Arts. It is both a place where we're going to present some of the artwork that's being developed and also a symposium. So it's like a cultural platform to explore the immigrant issue here in the crises. The symposium will feature 6 different speakers speaking to the major challenges of the Latino immigrant community. We will have lunch, and we'll also be gathering stories there because we're filming all of the events. Saturday at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center from 1 to 3 p.m.
The crisis regarding immigration is affecting the lives of every single member of our community in different ways. Even though they're documented, some of them, they live in mixed families, families who are being torn apart at the seams. What we want to do more than anything is put a face on the crisis and make sure that the community that we share space with begin to learn how they can be a part of the solution and how they can help be advocates on behalf of these families. In New Orleans, family is very important. I was born and raised here, and this is an important issue for Latino families, and we want to put this on the map here in New Orleans because the Latino community has given so much to New Orleans. They reconstructed New Orleans after Katrina, and I think it's only fair for at least the dialogue to begin and for us to share. And I really appreciate Teatro Sin Fronteras and the efforts that Jose has made to make sure that art is a part of that conversation, because I think it helps translate the feelings and emotions that we all have on either end regarding the immigration crisis in the United States.
You know, the Latino community is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's still on reconstruction sites, but their suffering is totally neglected by the larger community because the media, frankly, does not pay very much attention to it. So I just use my work in the arts as socially conscious immigrant that I am, born in Ecuador, raised in New York, and living here in New Orleans for a good 35 years, to create dialogue and social consciousness with the work. As part of this, we also want to invite the community to want to explore the immigration issue through performance practices that I teach quite often. You know, at institutions like CalArts or Duke or Cornell, I'm invited as a teaching residence artist. So we're going to offer, and I'm grateful for the Joan Mitchell Center for offering their space, to host a performance workshop, a 3-hour free workshop for those who are interested in exploring the immigrant experience further. We have a limited possibility of only 20 people. If anyone is interested, they can reach out to me at jose@torrestama.com. That's on Sunday, February 28th, Joan Mitchell Center.
When you've collected all of the stories, you've held all of the workshops, in the end, what is your final goal? What will the final project be?
Once we have the funds to purchase the truck, the mobile theater will move around New Orleans and people actually be able to walk inside a van that looks like the UPS van, really decked out, and experience on three screens various stories that we've collected of the immigrant community and their challenges. Also perspectives on the immigrant issue, but we'll also be able to perform the piece with the taco truck at all public spaces. Like, I want to go to the Lowe's Home Depot and perform the piece out there and offer an open-air dinner theater, radical dinner theater for the workers, the day laborers there, for them to hear their own stories, to know that their stories matter. All of my work deals with what I call the underbelly of the North American dream mythology, and I'm exploring the immigration issue because we can't deny that we are experiencing an anti-immigrant hysteria right now, unprecedented since I've been here.
This not only affects immigrants directly, but it affects every single person in New Orleans. Latinos have been an integral part of the fabric of New Orleans, both culturally and economically. And I think it's important that everyone gets involved in this conversation around immigration and how do we work together to make New Orleans a stronger and more vibrant city, including all of its residents, documented or not.
Award-winning performance artist Jose Torres Tama and Carolina Hernandez, director of Puentes Latinola. Thanks.
Gracias.
The Taco Truck Theater Production Residency is being hosted by the Ashe Cultural Arts Center and the Joan Mitchell Center with free public activities scheduled Saturday and Sunday. More information is online at torrestama.com. That's TORRESTAMA.com. And we turn now to Visions of Food. Nathan Myhrvold is a chef, photographer, author, and scientist known for pushing culinary boundaries in his award-winning books and innovative photographs. His latest exhibit, The Photography of Modernist Cuisine, is in final days at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Joining me now is exhibit co-curator Melissa Lukash. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Melissa, let's begin with a definition. What is modernist cuisine?
There's two definitions of it. It's a term for a style of cooking. Oftentimes, people refer to it as molecular gastronomy. It's also the name of a series of books that Nathan Myhrvold has written with his team at the Cooking Lab. It's a five-volume book plus a recipe manual called Modernist Cuisine, The Art and Science of Cooking. And it was followed by Modernist Cuisine at Home, and then a photography book, The Photography of Modernist Cuisine.
Wow, he keeps busy, huh?
Yeah. You know, it started as a simple project, and he realized that there is a lot to say about the art and science of cooking, and as a result, it has led to an entire team of chefs, scientists, photographers, and editorial team devoting time to pursuing how we can advance the culinary arts.
What was challenging for you in curating the images?
We found a couple challenges. One, we are photographers, chefs, and an editorial team first, not photo curators. So putting together an exhibit was a great new challenge, but something we really enjoyed. And then second, we actually had a whole set of appliances that were cut in half. So an oven that was disassembled and meticulously cut in half so you could see what it looks like inside the oven, or a Weber grill. And we wanted to send those on the road so that people could see them firsthand. So we had to figure out a way to fortify them so that they could travel the country. So in the exhibit, you will find both photos of these pieces of equipment and culinary tools cut in half, as well as the tools themselves.
Now, how many photos did you comb through before crafting this menu of 50 works?
Over the course of several years, you know, hundreds of thousands of photos were taken. And then for the photo book, we had narrowed it down to several hundred. And then, again, we went through that process to narrow it down for the exhibit.
And what was compelling about the photos that you chose for the exhibit?
We looked for images that really did provide viewers a new view of food. We included photos of different ingredients such as beans or raspberries, shot at such a close level that you're actually able to see details that you would otherwise not be able to see, using a technique called macro photography. And then going a level deeper, using a microscope to show on a cellular level what different ingredients such as vitamin C look like. There's actually two cabbage images. One shows your typical Savoy cabbage shot from above, but you'll notice that the leaves slowly transition from being yellow to a dark green. And, you know, the reason for that is really quite simple. The deeper green tone comes from access to sunlight, whereas the, you know, inner leaves don't have that exposure and are thus more pale. And then with red cabbage, you're able to see this undulated surface of the cabbage leaf that looks like it could be something that Frank Gehry did, but is not an architectural piece. It's just a natural leaf of red cabbage.
And what about that hamburger?
The levitating hamburger basically takes your traditional hamburger and allows you to see each of the individual components. We've done that by levitating it. So you see the beef patty suspended in air as well as the tomato. It really does make for quite an impressive view of something that oftentimes we just order off a menu or make in our backyard and may not necessarily think about.
How do art and science collide in these works?
Oftentimes, art and science are seen as being at complete opposite ends of the spectrum, you know, with science being very formulaic and art being spontaneous. But the reality is that science is the language of the world. Food is just naturally beautiful, and when you understand how food cooks, why it behaves the way it does, why, you know, oftentimes it even looks the way it does, then you're really able to be really creative. And through these photos, Nathan hopes to show people that the science of the culinary world is quite beautiful indeed.
Exhibit co-curator Melissa Lukash. Thanks.
Thank you.
New Orleans looking, it hits the spot every time. You know it fills me with joy, got oyster for war and a glass of almond wine.
The Photography of Modernist Cuisine, the exhibit by Nathan Myhrvold, is on view at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, 1504 O.C. Haley Boulevard through February 29th. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.